Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 8, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear that sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. And there is another way to get a hold of me, and people have been doing this, and I think they like the results. I do. You can mail me a letter, and you can find that information at our blog site, or I'll give you that in a minute. But you can mail me a letter. We'll take it to the service, and we will, in prayer circle, we'll anoint it with oil, and we'll pray over it, and then we'll send it back to you at no charge to you at all whatsoever. You can also email me with your address on it, with your prayer request, and I will do the same thing and mail it back to you. Or you can call me. The phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. We try to be here for you. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog that I was speaking about, which is like a hub for all our ministries, and that's at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on the net, so that makes it international radio. So pray about supporting airtime, and then we put it on a blog, and, you know, that costs money. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com. That, like I said, it's a hub for everything. And branch.podomatic.com. Both are smartphone friendly, so go check them out. And I challenge you to share this program with at least two or three other people. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest, which will be a real interesting program. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth, discern the truth, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight we bring back on with us author, researcher, lecturer, host of the Watcher Sealers series, L.A. Marzulli. He has a new book out called The Days of Chaos, and it became available on October 5th, if I have the date correct. Over 400 pages of vital information that he believes are the last days, of what he believes are the last days. He calls it an end times handbook. Haven't seen it yet, but I bet it's dynamite. And I think Watchers 9 is also out, and I know a lot of you are familiar with that. It's almost 2 hours long, and it's packed with cutting-edge interviews. So let's welcome now L.A. Marzulli. Are you there with us?
I certainly am. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm so glad to. And I noticed at your blog site. So was you on Coast to Coast last night, or is that tonight?
Yes, I was on. We were on Coast to Coast last night. And, you know, George is not a Christian, doesn't really believe like you or I, you or me. And but it was a very interesting two-hour romp with George. And every time I'm on, he starts to lean towards, well, maybe there's something going on here. It was a very, very, and but he's just a great interviewer. It was a, right. it was a wonderful romp.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, I know that the good thing about Coast to Coast is you get whether George believes or not, and I listen to him off and on when I'm bored, but There's a lot of coverage, you know. There's a lot of people that do listen it, so maybe the right people will hear it and get a warning.
Absolutely.
Now, anyway, so you sent me a link, Days of Chaos, new book. What's it about?
Well, you know, Yeshua says something 2,000 years ago, which is very alarming, really, when you think about it. And remember, when he's uttering this, and it's interesting, from our perspective in modernity, in 2015, we often don't realize the setting in which Yeshua is giving these instructions, as Chuck Missler would call it, a confidential briefing, to a very intimate group of people. I mean, at this time, there are no Christian churches. He hasn't gone to the cross yet. No one really knows what's going on, who he really is, except a very small handful of people. And these disciples ask him, what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And the first thing Yeshua says is, don't let anyone deceive you. Many will come in my name, declaring I am Messiah, Mashiach. And, of course, that's a crazy statement to make 2,000 years ago, because at this time, again, you know, no one, there is no Christianity, you know,
right.
It's not there. And then he gives us a punch list. He says, obviously, the first requirement, many will come in my name, which in itself is so filled with hubris. I mean, it's such an egotistical statement. It's like, well, wait a minute, who do you think you are, buddy? Many will come in your name. I mean, who do you think you are? Well, of course, he is the only Son of God, and we know that, Son of Yehovah. And it's incredible. He makes the statement, then he backs up his claim. Then there's a punch list. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, men fainting from fear from what is coming upon the earth. Welcome to the days of chaos. And that's really the nexus of the book. That's how it started. That's, and a lot of it is drawn, of course, from the blog, 8 years of tracking all these events. And I think the book and the DVD are incredibly timely right now, because when we look at what is going on the planet, specifically in October 2015, where Tsar Vladimir is all over the Middle East, everything is up in the air. Is it Ezekiel 38, Isaiah 17, Psalm 83 wars? My friend Bill Salas has posited. We have no idea what we're looking at. All we know is that everything is absolutely chaotic. Think about Europe. There's just one dynamic, yeah, of the days of chaos. Europe is being overrun by Islamists as we speak. And it's interesting that Saudi Arabia has constructed a tent city, which is air-conditioned, by the way, which will hold up to over 3 million people. They, the Saudis, are not taking any of the refugees coming out of Iraq and Syria. They are pouring into what was the European Union. And what, right, we are looking at is the Islamization of Europe. The entire, right, cultural fabric of that continent is being changed as we speak, and our media is basically completely silent on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Our media is just like, it reminds me so much of the media that you would kind of see that was, you know, with Big Brother, Newspeak, and telling you a whole bunch of stories. Well, let's just look at the movie stars, you know, while the whole world is falling apart, because the whole world is literally falling apart, as you say. Back to you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, we talk about wars and rumors of wars. Israel, which in my opinion is God's timepiece. And, you know, there's a damnable heresy, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, supersessionism, replacement theology, which says somehow that, well, the Christian church has become, inherits the promises of Israel. The Jews are really don't need them anymore. They're gone. They're hated by God, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what Scripture tells us. And the fact that Scripture is, the specificity of Scripture, specifically Ezekiel 38, when it talks about gathering them, gathering the Jewish people in from the four corners of the earth, reestablishing in their ancient homeland, that's what we're looking at. And what was it so telling, and it's such a major bonus for President Netanyahu, when he stood before the United Nations just a short while back and glared at the audience and said, this deal with Iran is a bad deal, and it's basically poses an existential threat to all of Israel. And after they're done with us, they'll come after you. And he sat there and he glared at the audience. I mean, I bully for Bibi. I mean, it was just a moment, right, that will just go down in history. the bottom line is the Christian church has been grafted in. Paul tells us that. And the Jews have been regathered from the four corners of the earth and reestablished in their ancient homeland. And by the way, never again to be removed from that. And Jerusalem is the apple of Yehovah's eye. And a lot of Christians have no idea of what is going on prophetically. Certainly, with all due respect to the current Pope, who would stand up on the anniversary of Israel declaring statehood and in support of the Palestinians, is like a stick in Israel's eye. It's unbelievable.
Right.
And this is exactly what we see. These are the days of chaos, wars and rumors of wars. Think of this. Who would have imagined the Arab Spring 5 or 6 years ago? Who saw it coming? Nobody saw it coming. And yet
right.
It has completely changed the Middle East as we know it. The rise of the Muslim Brotherhood, the rise of ISIS, the butchering of Christians and Jews everywhere. We are in a window of time, and if people don't want to, you know, if people want to turn this off because, well, that Elie Marzulli is talking about things that are a bummer, don't take it up with me. Take it up with Yeshua. I mean, all I'm doing is pointing out the laundry list that Yeshua tells us. Watch and be ready. These signs will show you that I'm at the door. When you see them, don't be paranoid. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. Look up, because you know your redemption draweth nigh. And this is the window of time that we find ourselves in. This is why I wrote the book, Days of Chaos.
Yeah, amen. A couple of things. Just before coming on the air, I ran across an article that it's from a place called Faith Street. It's called On Faith, and it's 10 things they wish everybody knew about the charismatic church, or they're calling it news charismatic. Anyway, it's a real laundry list anybody ought to look at. But number 10 really got me, and I'll read it real quick. It says, We've left the violent end times behind for a Jesus-looking God and a gospel of peace. For new charismatics, gone are the days of eschatological worldview where a bloodthirsty God requires militant pro-Israel support and violent American nationalism. Even as the 2016 GOP primary race heats up, they're more determined than ever to leave this behind for a God who looks like Jesus and a preacher of peace who taught forgiveness, equality, nonviolence before he submitted to his own death on the empire's cross. Not a heavenly warlord hell-bent on running a cosmic drone strike at the end of the age. Because for new charismatics, what's driving us is the center of everything is following our King Jesus. They're encouraging everybody to leave Israel and American nationalism. If you leave American nationalism, what do you have? You have globalism. Back to you.
And what's interesting about that is he's basically cherry picking scripture. We know from the book of Revelation that Yeshua, with his robe dipped in blood and a name written on his thigh that only he knows, the rider on the white horse comes with the armies of heaven, and the kings of the earth have been assembled on the plain of Megiddo. Now, if you want to throw that out, that's your business. And you can do that at your own risk. And see, this is the problem. The church is so divided. The fact that this guy or someone, this group of people could write something like that tells me how late the hour really is. I was at a conference last year, and I have no idea why they invited me. And I got up, and I began to speak. And there was a man in front of me in the audience, and I could see he was very, very vexed by what I was saying. Extremely upset. And he got up and left after about 20 minutes. It turned out to be he was the keynote speaker. And when he got up to speak, which was after me, he started telling everybody about the seven kingdoms and we're going to take all this back and all this other stuff. And because he had a vision, his vision now usurped the prophetic narrative that we read in our Bibles. Excuse me, that, in my opinion, is so dangerous and borderlines on blasphemy. And people were following this Pied Piper. With all due respect to this man, I know he's got a great heart, and he loves people, and I get all that. He's a Pied Piper, and people are following him. The bottom line is we are told, again, I'll say the punch list, Yeshua warns us, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes of earth places, troublesome times, men fainting from fear from what is coming upon the earth. This is the punch list, nation against nation. I mean, this is exactly what we are seeing, and in ways that go back 150 years ago, how could you possibly track an earthquake that happened in Fukushima? There's an entire chapter on the Fukushima disaster. You want to talk about troublesome times? There are millions of gallons of radioactive water that are being leaked in the Pacific Ocean on a daily basis, and no one reports on it. No one seems to care. If there's another earthquake, God forbid, near the Fukushima prefecture off on the east coast of Japan, and sends the what was known as the Fukushima Daiichi reactor
right.
Into the ocean, that's it. We are looking at an event that makes Chernobyl look like a picnic. Are you kidding me? And this is just one example. Look at the rise of the volcanic activity. No one wants to talk about the Bartabunga supervolcano in Iceland, or the Eyjafjallajökull volcano in Iceland, or the volcanoes erupting now in South America. You don't hear Doodly Squad about it in our news. They don't say anything about it. What about the so-called thousand-year flood in the Carolinas? Oh, well, it really isn't a thousand-year flood. It's only the 250-year flood. Well, what about the record drought in California? I mean, when do we say, what about the 150,000 antelopes dying in Kazakhstan? What about that? I mean, I could just go around and just keep, you know, piling one thing on another thing and another. And, you know, the naysayer will say, well, LA, it's only because we have the internet now. That's why we know all these things. I get that. I understand that. But the bottom line is, you can chart the earthquakes, and there's an uptick of earthquakes 7.0 and greater. And now, and I think Yeshua was sort of toying with us when he says earthquakes in diverse places. Well, the disciples 2,000 years ago, you know, if you're thinking, you're kind of going, well, how are we going to know about that? I mean, I'm not going to know if an earthquake happens in Europe at the time when Yeshua was, no one knew what Europe was or
right.
Japan, right? I mean, how would you know 2,000 years ago if an earthquake, if you lived in the Galilee, how would you know about an earthquake in Japan? You wouldn't know about it unless
no.
maybe a couple of years later somebody on a camp, you know, on a horse or a ship or whatever, docked and said, hey, we had a big earthquake. It's the only way you would know about it. Now my iPhone pings at everything 7.0 and greater. And I think Yeshua is kind of toying with us, and we see him do this all throughout the Gospels, the way he'll kind of bump up against the disciples and kind of throw them like a bone. That's an incredible statement to make, that there'll be earthquake in diverse places. It's just like when he sends out his disciples and go, you guys get in the boat, I'll catch up with you a little bit later. What's the first thing that we should know? What's wrong with this statement? Wait a minute, how's he going to catch up with us later? There are no motorboats. Wait a minute. And, of course, that's when he walks on the water, you know, when it starts to get dark. He's always bumping up against them. These are the days of chaos. We are in it. And what does it give birth to? It gives birth to the tribulation period, that seven-year period called the time of Jacob's trouble, which is written about, as Chuck Messler would say, more than any other topic in the entire biblical narrative.
Yeah, amen. There's so much going on. And you know what really destroys me about the Western church, I'll say it that way, is almost the total ignorance of the thousands and thousands of Christians that are being murdered in the Middle East. They're being beheaded for the witness to Christ.
That's
how
right.
come they're not standing on their pulpits talking about that? Back to you.
No, they're incredibly silent. They're incredibly silent about when it's okay for the Palestinians to throw rocks and kill Jews and stab them, but, you know, the Israelis push back, or the fact that the Israelis have spent millions of dollars on Iron Dome, and all Hamas did in Gaza was spend their millions of dollars on constructing terror tunnels into Israel. This is what we're looking at. And guess what? In Watchers 9, which is also called the Days of Chaos, we sat down with Dan Gordon. Dan Gordon is a very unique individual because he has dual citizenship, Israeli citizenship, and he also has U.S. citizenship. He's also a captain in the IDF, in the reserves. So he's been involved, boots on the ground, in I think five or six wars over there. The man is incredible. A real, basically, lifetime soldier. And he told me something absolutely chilling in that interview, which we included in Days of Chaos Watchers 9, which is almost 2 hours long, by the way. He said All right. that Hamas is now using the drug tunnels and helping and showing the drug cartels in Mexico how to construct these tunnels, which go for miles. And they're going to pop up in San Diego at some point. That is what's going on. that is, it's like a quid pro quo, the something for something. So Hamas is showing the drug cartels how to dig these very elaborate tunnels because they, they've already done it in the Gaza. It's amazing how somehow that's okay. It's somehow it's okay for Hamas to launch almost 4,000 rockets into Israel. But when Israel responds, that's not okay. Are you kidding me? Has the world gone completely bonkers? I mean, if this was the United States and Mexico or Canada were firing rockets into, you know, if Mexico were firing rockets into El Paso, there'd be World War III and like a New York made it. And yet, when the Israelis do it somehow, oh, it's war crimes. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
But it's absolutely what we would look for in this time, is it not? I mean, the whole world turning against Israel, that's what we would look at. And so even Bible prophecy students, unless it's Western-oriented, seem to be just, you know, out to lunch on this whole issue.
I totally agree with you. I mean, there are sections of the church, of the Christian church, there are radio shows, there are TV programs that I'm not welcome because of my ardent stance with Israel. They don't want to hear that. And because they have a replacement theology, supersessionistic viewpoint of end times, you can't figure out anything, because everything about the end times, everything about the last days hinges around the nation of Israel. And folks, and this is a dire warning, and George Norrie and I talked about this on Coast to Coast last night, America is not mentioned in biblical prophecy. And, you know, people want to tap dance around that, because right now we're still the greatest nation on earth, and we're a Christian nation. Folks, I got to tell you something, and there is in the book, The Days of Chaos, there's a whole chapter on this, and we talk about the idea of, in troublesome times, the idea of an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse weapon. And I'm not the first person to bring this up, but you get something like that, you get an EMP happening in America, and what that is, for folks that don't understand what it is, let's say the Iranians, who we believe already have a nuke, and they already have a missile which will go at least 200 miles up off the face of the earth. And what they would do is they would take just a simple oil tanker and convert it into a missile launcher. So from the outside, it would look like a normal oil tanker. They would sail to the Gulf of Mexico. They'd launch that missile. It would go up 200 miles. And if it wasn't detonated before it would deliver its payload, it would explode the nuke 200 miles above the earth. And when that happens, it sends out a pulse wave, an electromagnetic pulse, which then short circuits every electrical item that we have. Think about it. Cell phone.
Let's hold that thought. We got to go to a break. So we got. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we got less than a minute. So give them contact information, and then we'll go to break. Come back and talk.
LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net. We've got a special on the book, Days of Chaos, and also Watchers 9 by the same title, Days of Chaos.
All right, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more with L.A. Marzulli.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4255.
416 316 619 4886.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Advance Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, we're in very perilous time. So much has happened this month, and I advise you all to keep an eye on Russia, even a closer eye on Washington, as today the Washington Times reported, Obama drops the pretense. He aims for a confiscation of private arms, not control of guns. President Obama is finally out in the open as an advocate, not of gun control, but of eliminating guns in the hands of the people. The White House announced Monday that the president is working on executive orders to do what Congress will not do. Obama said he would disembowel the Second Amendment to accomplish his goal of disarming ordinary law-abiding Americans. He's determined not to let the tragedy in Oregon go to waste. In a few short sentences, he validates every fear of those who believe the president who said earlier he only wanted common sense restrictions on the ownership of guns was actually advocating the first steps to confiscation. His critics argue that he and his congressional allies, particular Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania and Senator Joe Wester of West Virginia, were out to establish a federal gun registry, which would lead to confiscation here as it has in many other places. Folks, I cannot see how he would have the time to follow this through in the year that he has left in office. Who knows? Maybe, just maybe, some of the people were right who said Obama would be our last president. I don't know. If you have not made preparations, you need to make preparations now, and you need to get informed now. That's what we do with this radio program. So pray about it, folks. We really need your support to keep bringing you the breaking news at theprophecyhour.com and to keep the much-needed Mission Church open, as so many people are in great need. We tell by opening the doors and the homeless and the poor come in. People from all walks of life walk in that door looking for prayers and all kinds of things. If you're blessed by these radio programs, you know it takes money to stay on the air and bring you these guests. We need your support for our time and to pay for the podcast site that these programs go on after we do a live program. So pray about it. We don't have anything to sell you like anybody else. We are just relying on the Father to put it on your heart to donate and help us. In all the years that we've been on radio and the 16 years we've been running the Wichita Mission Church. So please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work here and with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Folks, we are the last hope for so many, and we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, really does help, but the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, or call me if you need that information at 620-878-4682. And now we're talking with L.A. Marzulli about the end times and his new book that's out. Are you still with me, L.A.?
I certainly am. Great to be here.
Well, I'm really glad to have you on. And did you happen to read that or hear what I said about Obama and gun confiscation?
Look, I've been following this, and it's where people don't understand the American people, and specifically the church. All elements of the church basically laid down and did doodly squat when the Supreme Court acted with judicial fiat by declaring gay marriage to become the law in all 50 states. They lit the White House up. There was nary a mumble, among Christian circles. You would think that there'd be pushback. I think this might be the line. However, before I get to the guns, there was another, the whole Planned Parenthood, the selling of babies, that created pushback. But still, the church isn't really standing up and going, enough of this. We are taxed to death. We have 800 military bases on a global level. We have a president who is no friend of Israel. I mean, when we and declares that we're not a Christian nation, we've got a southern border which is still porous. We've got thousands of refugees coming in from the Middle East. We have no idea who these people are. And then, isn't it interesting? Right on Drudge Report, I'm looking. Armed guards protect the Senate Democrats as they demand new gun control laws. In other words, say what I do. But, you know, how does that go? Do what I say, not what I do, right? Exactly. Exactly that. And they're telling us that, well, you know, we're going to have, once again, Emperor Obama will get up. And this might be the final wake-up call to most Americans. Obama cited and pointed back to Australia and said, well, look what happened with them after their one shooting. They rounded up all the guns. That's why we have the Second Amendment, Mr. President. And the whole idea of the Second Amendment is to protect the citizenry from a tyrannical government. And all one needs to do is look at what happened with the Boston bomber. One 19-year-old punk moron, right, holds the entire city siege. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The entire city just lays down. What happened to a posse comitatus? What happened to that? You know, why didn't a bunch of guys get together? No, instead they bring in the SWAT teams. And as Judge Napolitano, one of my heroes, states, when the police begin to look like the military and you can't tell the difference between them, you've just crossed the line. And that's where we are. That's where we are. And here's how to stop the shootings. It's really simple, you know, if you want to do it. And it's funny. Well, that would cost millions of dollars. What about the TSA pat-down nonsense? Huh? In every single airport. What about TSA? What about Obamacare? You know, if you have your plan, you can keep your plan. Well, I can't keep my plan. Now I've got an $8,000 penalty I have to pay because we made just a little too much money in 2014, and we thought we were going to get subsidized. I mean, what a total nightmare. Now I've got to pay $8,000 back because we made a little too much money right. In 2014. This is how it works. So gun control, and this is how you stop the shooters. And it's really simple. Really simple. You have every teacher, because first of all, to be a teacher, they have to go through a rigorous interview. You know, right. They're not going to have a pedophile teaching in the fourth grade. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, okay? So, yeah, people slip through the cracks, and I get that. But here's what you do, and it's just so simple. You mandate, and the states each vote on it, so it's not a federally mandated law. States vote on this. You have every teacher, every single teacher goes to a gun class one day out of the year, and they have to buy a handgun. The school pays for that. They learn how to load it and use it, and they all pack. Every single teacher in America is packing. I love it. And you know what happens? You're going to think twice about going into that school, because if you walk in, guess what? The teacher's going to pull out his or hers handgun, and now all of a sudden the odds are even. What's interesting about the Oregon shooter, and no one wants to talk about this, and shame on the school board and the morons who voted against arming the lone security guard in the entire school. Oh, you can't. If someone comes in with a handgun, he'll just throw his thermos from his lunchbox at him. That'll deter him. I mean, it's such nonsense. It's not rounding up the guns. You're not going to stop, and you're not going to legislate mental health issues. You can't legislate mental health issues. You can't legislate a nutcase like the Oregon shooter or the Batman shooter or Jared Loughner or Dylan and Kleeborg. It goes on and on and on. You can't legislate that. What you can do is you can legislate that every single teacher, okay, and every single mall cop will be armed. In Israel, they carry Uzis as casually as Londoners carry umbrellas. Guess what? No one opens fire on the streets of Israel, because if you do, you're going to get return fire. And that's the answer here.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you totally. Here's my point. Suppose this, the president, I don't know. I'm not one of these people that I've been in the prophecy thing since the early 90s, and I hear so many folks about, oh, they're going to take all the guns and everything. I don't see how that can even be remotely possible. I mean, like, who would they even have do that? I mean, there's so many guns in this country. It would just start a civil war, wouldn't it?
That's exactly what would happen. I mean, there is, and, you know, it's interesting. We may be looking at collapse of this country anyway. Which is another chapter in the book called Financial Collapse, with the BRIC nations in place, you know, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. Isn't it interesting how the Ruskies and the Chinese are all over the Middle East right now? And for the Chinese, that's the first time they've been involved in that area of the world in 800 years since the Mongols invaded. So it's just like we are so far beyond the pale right now, in my opinion. This country is on the verge of financial collapse. The BRICS nation, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, all are attempting to place the Chinese yuan as the new default currency. Right now, the American dollar, the petrodollar, is what is traded. Oil is traded with the petrodollar. If that collapses, we are toast. We are just toast if that happens. And Russia is desperately trying to do that. Tsar Vladimir is not a communist. He's a czarist. And what he's trying to do, excuse me, is restore Russia to her former glory. That's right. What's going on here. And they're looking at Syria, and they don't care about Bashar al-Assad. What he's looking at is that warm water port. Oh, yeah, baby, he can't wait for that. And now, isn't it interesting, just recently they found perhaps the largest deposit of oil in the Middle East, worth trillions of dollars, and guess where it is? Surprise, 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 in Israel. In Israel. Yeah. And is that the hook in the jaw? I don't know.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely. This looking at the China. Look, we got China, Iraq, Iran. All of those countries, you know, that are all technically, you know, anti-Israel. I mean, you could say whether Russia is or not, but it's almost the lineup we see from Ezekiel 38, and they're all being buddy buddy. I mean, right now they might be fighting ISIS or whatever, but you know, that's just too close for comfort, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely it is, and that's what people don't understand. You know, I was just at Prophecy in the News last week. I'm sorry, Prophecy Watchers with Gary Stearman and Bob Ulrich, and that's their new ministry, prophecywatcher.com. And, you know, when Gary and I locked eyes, the first thing we talked about, the first thing, you know, look at Russia. My gosh, what's going on? And we discussed this on the air. We actually did a 15-minute update, which is posted on their site, talking about this, and we said, look, what we are looking at is the formation, perhaps the formation of the Ezekiel 38 war. We're not there yet, but what we see is maybe that the stage is being set for that. Surely the Russian bear coming down into the Middle East is unprecedented. We haven't seen it anything like this. And the fact that there's a Chinese warship anchored off the coast of Syria, that is unprecedented. Look, the Arab Spring, the rise of the Iranians, the fact that we have John Smith Boat Carey going over there and dealing with the mullahs to lift sanctions, and oh, by the way, giving them billions of dollars of aid, this is insanity. This is absolutely insane. And unless the president is a Muslim, and I believe is a Shia Muslim, and of course the Iranians are Shia, he is a Muslim, and he's siding with the Muslims. And, you know, he's, in my opinion, if World War III breaks out and there's an attack against Israel, Obama will dither. He'll do nothing. Just like right. Clinton, and for the folks who don't know, just Google Benghazi and realize that our ambassador was brutally tortured, and I'm going to get a little graphic here, with a cattle prod on his genitals for hours. For hours they tortured this guy. He was brutally sodomized and then finally killed. And what did our country do? What did Obama blame it on? What was the spin? Some ridiculous movie that outraged the Muslims? No. And the media bought it and went along with it? The media is totally in the tank with the current administration. And what happened in Benghazi should make every American's blood boil. It should make everyone look at Hillary Clinton and go, basically prosecute her for what happened in Benghazi, in my humble opinion. And that's what we're looking at in this country. And yet, the church is asleep, the pastors won't talk about it, and then you've got guys like we talked about in the very beginning of the program, and we're trying to tell us that, you know, no more, Jesus is not coming back on a white horse, you know, the rider on the white horse, that's not going to happen, he's really not the warrior king, no, we want the, you know, we want the Jesus with the lamb over his shoulders, it looks like a white guy, you know, and that's how it's going to work, and well, the Jews lost their salvation and blah, 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 blah. And it's very, very dangerous, which shows me that we are in the window of time that's leading you to the time of Jacob's trouble.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people don't get, you just said something that was very revealing. Well, a lot was, but when you said Jacob's trouble, well, who's Jacob? If Israel doesn't matter, then who is Jacob? Back to you.
Exactly. The time of Jacob's trouble. It's not Bob, Fred, or Irving, you know? It's the time of Jacob's trouble. I mean,
yeah.
that's who it is. And we got to understand that's Jacob. And who is Jacob? Hello, McFly. I mean, we should all tap our own foreheads to make sure that we're awake here. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. And this, what we are seeing now, these days of chaos, will lead up to the time of Jacob's trouble. It's been prophesied more than any other event in the biblical narrative, and I believe all the signs are there. Let me just give you an idea. Earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars, troublesome times, a one-world government, the Fukushima disaster, false Christs and other false prophets, financial collapse, the lawlessness, fish and animal die-offs, blood curse on Milan, which of course is the 1 billion aborted babies globally, signs in the heavens and earth, volcanic activity, famines, the UFO phenomenon, the coming great deception and messengers of deception, the great falling away, the global rise of anti-Semitism. These are some of the chapter headings in the Days of Chaos book. It is chock full of what we call, what I would say, vital information in these days of chaos. The subtitle is An End Times Handbook, and it is. It's to wake up the church, wake up the remnant, let them know that the times that we are living in are absolutely tenuous, tumultuous, and unprecedented.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. There's just so much that's there. It's just like, you know, the Pope, that was unprecedented, the Pope to come and address the United Nations, come to the United States, and meet with all those dignitaries, like he did down there at the 9/11 site. You know, you've seen these people from all the different religions, you know, as taking part in that ceremony, and, you know, people just ho-hum. They don't get it. I don't really see how America got so asleep. Maybe it's because they walk around like zombies with the smartphones bumping into everything. You know what I mean? Because they got to look at the latest game or their selfie or whatever. Let me tell you what something, LA, go to like a Walmart or someplace and walk in the front door and in the busy part of the day and just stop. But brace yourself because you will literally get run over by people. I tried that last year around, you know, November, December, you know, shopping time.
Oh, forget it.
A buddy of mine told me to do that. And I did it, and I couldn't believe it. I about got trampled to death. And the people that ran into me, it wasn't just because it was an error. It was because they wasn't looking. They were looking at their smartphone and doing it while they walk. I mean, that's what the nation is doing. Back to you.
And it's, you know, we fly around for conferences and speaking engagements and stuff. And when we're at the airports, it's exactly what you see. Everybody is on their, smartphone, tablet, laptop. And I'm guilty of it, too. I mean, I use it. I'm sitting there waiting for a plane, so I'll take out my laptop and I'll start working on a chapter, or I'll look at news, or I'll blog, or, you know, answer emails. I mean, we're all working. I understand that. But a lot of it gets to the point where people need to be occupied by something. And so a lot of people don't know what just being still is. You know, we've lost that, specifically in the churches. How many churches are still and know that He is God, you know, on Shabbat?
Yeah.
How many Christians are still before the Lord of Lords, before Yahovah, before Yeshua? I mean, how many are just waiting on Him and are still? We've lost that. And, you know, when I go to these places and we'll try to practice that, a lot of times people get antsy. They've never done it. They don't know how to do it. They've never been taught. So they don't know how to be still and know that He is God. And that's what we're told to do. Shut up. Sit down. Quit this nonsense, this crazy charismatic, you know, running around, babbling and all this other stuff. Just shut up and sit before Him and see what He has to say, because He will speak to His people. He will speak through His prophets. You know, He'll speak to a new believer or a believer that's been walking with Him for 60 or 70 or 80 years. It makes no difference. He's no respecter of persons, but He will speak. And especially in a time like this, you know, we're getting reports from people that are having dreams, from old men to young children who are getting visions, who are hearing literally audible voices that are saying, I am coming soon. I am going to return soon. And we keep hearing this over and over again just in the last year. And, you know, people can take that and do whatever they want with it. You know, I don't care. All I know is that when Yeshua rides in, and this should be chilling for us, this should be our sort of guidepost for end times. Everyone knew the book of Daniel. It was there. The scroll of Daniel was rolled up. And everyone knew it. Everyone knew about the scroll of Daniel. The Pharisees knew about it. The Sadducees knew about it. The priests knew about the scroll of Daniel. And they knew that the prophecy stated that from the time of the declaration to go out and rebuild the temple to Mashiach comes, Mashiach Megiv, Messiah the King comes, it'll be so many years. They all know that. All they got to do is when that decree from Cyrus comes out, watch that sundial start counting the years. Yeshua arranges, as Chuck Missler would say, the only time in his entire ministry he arranges to be led as a king. And there's all this supernatural stuff going on. Go in and, you know, you'll see a colt that's overridden. Come back with it. And he allows himself, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of Jehovah. And he comes in riding on the donkey. And then right after that, he weeps over Jerusalem. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks. But you did not know the day of your visitation. It was right there. And here we've got the words of Yeshua in every language you can possibly think of, in every different translation. We've got the internet, we've got smartphones, we've got tablets, and he tells us precisely, many will come in my name saying, I am Mashiach. Don't believe them. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, for the end will not come until nation rise against nation. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome time, men fainting from fear from what is coming upon the earth. Just like the days of Noah, and that's a whole other conversation we can get into, right, but we don't have time. That will be, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And there it is, and he spells it out for us. And here we are. Right. How much more responsible are we when it's right there in front of us, right there? And all I can tell you is that, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, they were held accountable. The nation of Israel was held accountable almost 2,000 years ago for not knowing the day of his first coming, of their visitation, of Mashiach riding in. How much more the church in modernity when we've got all these resources at hand?
Right. You're absolutely correct. We should be aware, and we will be held much more accountable. But, you know, there's something I'll just throw in here because we only got a couple of minutes left. One of the signs that I had been looking for would that be that there would be rabbis and people in Israel waking up or getting visions that Mashiach is coming. And we've been having that. I've been noticing it within the last year. There's been numerous. It's coming forth that they've been prophesizing those things. Back to you, and we got about 2 minutes.
Absolutely. In fact, Rabbi Glazerson, my friend and the co-producer of the Watchers series, Richard Shaw, there's a table, and Rabbi Glazerson is, and it's caused a firestorm in Israel. Mashiach in 2016, that's what they believe because of the Torah codes. They are expecting the Messiah in 2016. That's what they're saying, and they're all excited about it. People are getting visions and dreams, and like I said, this is not going away. Look, folks, I only got like maybe a minute left. Days of Chaos is an end times handbook. It's not for the faint of heart. It's for the mature believer. But what it will do is it will arm you, the reader, and tell you and me, all of us, the times that we are living in are unprecedented. And go to the site, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. You can get Watchers 9 by the same title, Days of Chaos, and, of course, the book, Days of Chaos. I promise you, it will arm you and get you excited because we're told by Yeshua, when you see these things, everything that we've been talking about in the last hour, don't be afraid, don't cower, don't build a bunker, look up, because he's coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you might. Where's your website at? Go ahead and tell them that.
It is www.lamarzulli.net. www.lamarzulli, M-A-R-Z as in zebra, U-L-L-I.net. And you can avail yourself of a Days of Chaos package.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, LA, I'm just go ahead and ask you right now. I'm going to put a link to this book and this thing up. So is that the same page that I should link to for people to find it from our website?
Correct, exactly. And I'm also going to text that to you right now.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks for being on with me. You come back again. I always enjoy it. I know the listeners do, and so it's great to have you on. Thanks for being on with me.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right, you be blessed. Thanks.
Take care.
Well, folks, and I guess I let him out about a half a minute early, but go check out that book. You know, you should really check out some of the other things he does. L.A. Marzulli is widely noted, though, for his work with Nephilim and those kind of things, and that's another a whole other side that we could do a 2 or 3 hour programs on. These things are coming about. Look at it. You know, you have massive, not only with the Nephilim, you have massive sightings and things all over, but we're talking about people having dreams and vision. People in Israel are doing it, you know, and that's critical. Would not the Father, I mean, over and over, we've seen how long-suffering he's been with Israel. Would he not, before the time comes again, would he not give them dreams and visions? These things that are happening, there's so many signs or numinous. The church is just ignoring them because it doesn't fit with their theology. Their theology is that, hey, believe in Jesus Christ, and the rest of your life is going to be just fine. Now, sit down on the couch and give me your money. And then what do they do with the money? Instead of taking the money like Paul talked about all through the New Testament, he talked about, what do you do with this money? He gave all his money to the poor. That's what he said he did with it. And it talks about him supporting ministries to feed people in other places other than where they were at. They fed people. They cared for people. What did they care about? Money. They sold everything, and they just took only what they need. Now, I'm not telling you to sell everything, but what are you doing for the poor? What are you doing for the people in your own family that need help? Pray about it. And we need your support tonight. You want to help us stay on the air? We need your donations to keep doing what we do to warn about these end times. But you must remember, there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for your repented sins, and he rose 3 days and 3 nights later after being in the heart of the earth. 3 days and 3 nights, not a day and a half in a little while. That's another Jesus. Let me tell you, that's who it is. It's another gospel. Anyway, I got to get out of here. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.